Many of us rarely leave home without our smartphones, and they've become such a big part of our lives, they often show up at dinner. But the technology is still new enough that the right etiquette at mealtime isn't clear. NPR's Elise Hu went to a restaurant to see how those addictive glowing screens are changing the dining experience.
There's potato gnocchi, and they're both like little dumplings.
Washington, D.C.'s Red Hen Restaurant is known for its homemade pasta, wood-fired grill, and the devoted service of people like Danny Farr.
I love interacting with all the crazy people that are here in our restaurant.
If you ask her, restaurant dining is about building relationships, whether it's between you and your fellow diners or between the server and the people being served.
I'm trying to, like, almost build, like, a magical moment with the person, you know, sitting at the table, because I'm really excited about telling them about the menu and, like, the new things that we have to offer.
But the more time Farr spends in the service industry, the more persistent a presence the smartphone has become. She's full of stories about it.
Two people sitting at this table, and I think they're on a date. The gentleman, throughout the entire meal, did not acknowledge me. Like, he had no questions about the menu. Like, she did all the ordering and, like, never once looked up at me. And I'm like, I'm here for you. Like, I want to talk to you. I, like, want to engage. But, like, you won't even look up at me. Like, what are you doing? Why are you here?
How we're changed by our devices is something Thomas Plant, a psychologist and professor at Santa Clara University, has been studying.
The worry is that if we have more of a digital relationship with others rather than a real relationship or more a face-to-face relationship with others, we may lose some of the nuance of those kinds of interactions.
But it's still early days in the research of our relationships with phones. A recent Pew survey shows the number of Americans using smartphones has nearly doubled since just 3 years ago.
We're living in changing times, and these changing times change so rapidly. It wasn't that long ago where none of us had smartphones. And somehow it's remarkable that something like smartphones have just revolutionized our culture.
The devices have taken over so quickly that the rules for when and where we should use them aren't written. These days, is it acceptable to dine with a friend and text with another at the same time?
A lot of people would experience that as being rude, whereas others would say, well, no, this is just sort of the new norm.
Danny Farr, the server, notes another fairly new norm. When she sets down dishes in front of diners, the cameras come out to snap photos first.
Can't you visually, like, remember, like, what it looks like? But they're, like, trying to, they're, like, moving plates and, like, silverware to get the lighting right.
She and other servers say there's still value in just breaking bread with someone or sharing a plate of pasta in person. Courtney Cranch tends bar at the Red Hen.
People should just sit down and, like, enjoy the experience and not have to be on a phone the whole time, you know?
The psychology professor, Plant, says the norms change without us even noticing. So as we embrace technology, we should remember our humanity, too.
I think what we want to always keep in mind, if we can, is how can we be kind to each other, gracious, respectful? And if we keep that in mind, the details will follow.
Not every meal has to come with a smartphone on the side. Elise Hu, NPR News.
So mobile phone and computer screens can distract us from engagement in the real world. That's been especially true when it comes to video games. NPR's Laura Seidel reports on an innovative game that uses social networking and location technology to get players together in person.
It's not unusual to see someone out in the open looking down at a cell phone. But on a recent Sunday afternoon, as I walk into Republic Square Park in Austin, there's a cluster of about 100 people looking down at their phones.
It's a recursion event here, so we're just
Incursion event? What? This man sounds insane, but he's not. His name is Ramsey Okla, and he and the others are gathered here to play a game together called Ingress. Two warring factions are standing here shooting virtual missiles at one another using an app on their phones. Both want control of this spot in the park. And in order to win, the players need to meet up in a real location, says Okla.
I'm actually from Oklahoma. I'm here for work right now. So I flew in early.
You flew in early?
Yeah.
So you could play the game?
Yeah.
Player Robbie Cable says he's made a lot of new friends.
A lot of these people here today that I'm meeting, I've been talking to for months. Being a global game, we have to interact with people not just locally, but all over the place. And it really brings people together.
Here's the basic plot of Ingress. Something called exotic matter, a virtual blue-green fog that can be seen on computers and mobile devices, started appearing at specific locations around the world at certain times. One side in the game, called The resistance believes this matter has been put here by a dark alien force. The other side, the enlightened, thinks the substance holds the key to a bright human future. The two sides fight it out in real locations across the globe. Cable, a 29-year-old restaurant manager from Beaumont, Texas, says he's learned a lot about his community from the game.
I'm from a relatively small town. I was born there. And I didn't know until I started playing this game that Thomas Edison actually came to Beaumont and turned on the first generator to power the first electric lights, which I found out at a museum that is a portal here that I never knew existed before I played this game.
Cable, who was once a couch potato playing video game addict, says he's actually lost weight tracking down sites while playing Ingress. This is exactly what John Hankey hoped would happen when he created Ingress.
We wanted to experiment with this idea that you could use technology and mobile apps to actually pull people more deeply in touch with the real world instead of the opposite, instead of people tuning out the real world and focusing only on their technology.
Hankey runs Niantic Labs, a startup inside Google. Ingress uses Google Plus and YouTube, where there's a regular faux newscast.
This week on the Ingress Report, the Austin recursion anomaly brings with it a mysterious revelation.
And players can upload their own videos.
And know that the resistance will continue to protect humanity from all threats, alien or otherwise.
One author of this video, Lisa Compte, is here at a bar in Austin where players are fighting to control territory while having a beer. Compte says they wanted to become characters in the official game.
We kind of forced our way into the plot. Like, that was that was how we started out, was, okay, we want to be a part of this.
In fact, the game's writers wove Compte and her pals' call to arms into the plot. Flint Dilley leads the creative team for Ingress. He's written for film, TV, and video games, and he says Ingress is a totally new writing experience.
And the story unfolds incrementally and daily. It's like news.
At this point, there's no end date in sight for Ingress. It's been downloaded 2 million times all over the world. Dilley says the players are not just an audience.
We view our players as they're not customers, they're our collaborators. They're part of the team.
Though Ingress certainly gets us away from our computers, it's not clear if it's actually getting us any closer to reality. I interviewed one of the players and I asked for her name.
Hi, I'm Team Captain Badgerpants.
Badgerpants. And what's your real name?
Rowan Badger.
Sounded odd, but okay. But then about 10 minutes later, she realized I was a real news reporter, not a character in the game.
Since it's not in-game, my actual last name is Hageman. In-game, I use Rowan Badger as my nickname.
Of course, Shakespeare famously wrote, "All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players." Ingress takes the great bard's words to a new level. Laura Seidel, NPR News.